book of John, chapter 4. John chapter 4, and here in just a moment we're going to pick up in verse 39, but let's just kind of bring everybody up to speed where we're at. We are still in this passage, we are still in a city of Samaria. There are people here that are believing or about to believe in Jesus Christ. Okay, Christ was coming through Samaria and he sat down by this well, and a woman of Samaria came and he asked her for a drink, and she said, "Why are you asking me for a drink? You're a Jew, I'm a Samaritan, we don't have any dealings with one another." Pardon me. And he said that if she knew who was talking to her, she'd ask him for a drink and he'd give her living water. He points out her adultery. And he says that he tells her to go and get her husband. And she said, "I don't have a husband." He said, "You're right. You've had five husbands, and the one that you have right now is not your husband." And then she goes back to town. She leaves her water pot, that thing that was so important. She came to bear water, get water for whatever reason, and now all of a sudden that didn't matter. When she came face to face with her sin and her lost condition, the fact that she needs to be saved, then she leaves that water pot and gets back to town and starts witnessing. She goes right into town and starts telling people about Jesus. And that ought to be us, not just when we first get saved, but we ought to remain that way. Christ ought to be so precious to us and so important to us that we just don't ever stop telling other people about him. Okay? She went right into town. I mean, right into town to get people to come to Jesus. The sad truth is, and it doesn't have to be this way, but the fact is that a lot of times people start out when they get saved, they're like that. They want to tell other people about Christ. They want to lead other people to Christ. And then over time, that wanes, and there's no reason for it to. It does because we somewhere along the line let something slip, or we get busy with things, or we get our eyes back on the world, whatever the case may be. But we do see in Scripture people who that never waned. The Apostle Paul, all the way up until death, one thing remained true with him. One thing was central in his life, and that was telling other people about Jesus Christ. Paul did not get so busy in the things of the world that he didn't see the importance of telling other people how to be saved. It is the most important message in the world. It's more important than any State of the Union address. It's more important than any governor's speech. It's more important than any acceptance speech of a trophy of any kind. It's more important than any Olympic ceremony, whatever it is. Back in December, I preached a message about some of the things that we have heard throughout history that we remember, some of the quotes that we remember that people through history have made, and how the most important words that have ever been spoken from the Bible, they're from the Bible, they deal with salvation. And what do we find? We find that more people know what a past president said than people know what Jesus said and know what the Apostle Paul said. There is no greater message than that of the gospel. The gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And there is no greater thing that we can tell people than the fact that they need to be saved. Not that you need to be in church, which saved people ought to go to church. Okay? That's where we learn. That's where we grow. That's where we get the strength that we need. That's where we have the fellowship that we need. But that's not the first thing. That's not how we deal with lost people. We don't start off by saying, "You just need to get in church." We don't even start off with lost people and say, "You just need to start reading a Bible." They're only going to understand a little bit of it, and that is that they need to be saved. Okay? The natural man receiveth not the things of God. They are foolishness unto him, for they are spiritually discerned, was what the Bible tells us. The natural man can understand how to be saved, but other than that, the Bible doesn't make a whole lot of sense. You can understand how to be saved if you read the Bible, but there's other stuff in it that just doesn't make sense until you get saved. Okay? And then after God saves you and He's made your spirit alive, then you can understand those things. And you know, the reason that we understand those things after salvation is because the Spirit has been quickened and God has made us alive. But also, this is just a personal belief of mine, but perhaps the reason that a lost person can't understand anything else from the Bible other than salvation is because what does the rest of it matter if you're not saved? Perhaps Christ designed it so that we couldn't get past that first hurdle. We couldn't get over those other hurdles until we got over that first one of needing to be saved. Perhaps that's why Christ made it so that, hey, you can study it, you can know what it says, you can understand some of it, you can look at it from a historical point, you can memorize the whole thing, you can quote the whole thing, but it's not going to mean anything to you unless you're saved. And perhaps Christ designed it that way so that man didn't get so wrapped up in it that he would forget about salvation. Now the truth is, there are people who know this book, the words, cover to cover. There are people who know that they can quote more scripture than I can, and they're still lost. They don't know the meaning of what they're reading. Well, they know the words, but they don't know what they mean. They can't know what they mean if they're not saved. What is salvation? Well, the Bible tells us that, and we don't, whenever we read about people preaching the gospel in Scripture, sometimes it's worded differently. Jesus was just talking about everlasting, he was talking about living water, okay? Not everybody that preaches the gospel in Scripture mentions living water, okay? But the gospel, though it is presented in different words by different people in the Bible, the essential elements are always there. The gospel doesn't change. You see what I'm saying? Sometimes, you know, Jesus talked about living water. Well, Paul didn't talk about living water, but they were both preaching the gospel. What is the gospel? The gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Well, what does that mean? What's so important about that? Well, the Bible tells us that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. God created everything. He created man. Man disobeyed Him in the garden. Humanity then was lost, separated from God because of our sin. We are sinners by birth. We are already lost and on our way to hell whenever we're born. Hell is real, okay? The lack of preaching about hell in churches today has not removed the fact that it exists. It is still there. The fire is still hot. And just because we live in a world, especially in a country, where consequences have all but been removed, in just about everything that you do, it seems like this world, this country that we live in, is trying to remove every consequence. Well, one mistake shouldn't ruin their whole life, or this shouldn't have to change everything about them, or why should they have to deal with this? Because consequences teach us lessons. That's why the law is very important. You know why more and more people commit more and more crimes? Because less and less our government enforces the laws that we have. Take that however you want. I'm not an anti-government person. Government was established by God. The corruption that's there was established by man. Okay? When a person knows and believes emphatically, if I take that person's life, then the state will take my life, then you have less people taking other people's lives. Not that people don't still take people's lives. I'm going to make a comment here, and I think I can make this with the church, and I think that everyone will understand what I'm saying without taking this the wrong way. But none of us lived in the time of public hangings, okay? None of us lived in that time, but there was a time when our country had public hangings, okay? There was a time when if you committed certain crimes, they would put you to death in front of the rest of the community. You know why they did that? To show the rest of the community, if you do the same thing, this is what awaits you. Now what we have is, it really doesn't matter what you do. You're probably not going to do time. We're probably going to let you off with a short sentence. And what happens? Oh, we got to do something about overcrowded jails. Come on. Come on. Our county, right? I know what let's do. Let's build a casino, another den of iniquity. Hey, you can think what you want. That's just common sense, okay? Got overcrowded jails. We got that. Why don't we start enforcing laws and teaching people that there are consequences, and then we won't have so many people going to jail because they'll know, hey, they ain't kidding. They really will put me in the chair. They really will put me to death if I do that. I saw this back whenever I was in high school. Well, if we put daycares in the high schools, you know where I'm headed. If we put daycares in the high schools, well, then when a junior or senior or sophomore or whatever, when this girl gets pregnant, then she won't have to quit school and she'll still be able to get her, we'll watch her child for her. And the taxpayers will pay for it. Look, I get this sounds like a problem with the government rant, but trust me, this is going somewhere. Okay? Well, if we watch the baby and use taxpayers' dollars to do it, and then she'll go, she'll be able to finish her, she'll get her diploma, and then she'll be able to go on and do all this. Yeah, and in the meantime, what she learns is, I can just do whatever I want and they'll take care of the consequences for me and there won't be any consequences. And so then the daycares in the schools grow and grow and grow and grow and grow. Look, sin brings with it consequences. You have to deal with those consequences biblically. But the Bible doesn't teach us that with the complete removal of consequences, we'll learn anything, because we don't. Now, here's where all this is headed. We live in a world, we live in a society where man thinks he should not have to suffer the consequences of his sin. Okay, he doesn't go to jail for things that he used to go to jail for. He doesn't lose his job for poor performance. Remember when people used to get fired because they did not do their job? Now what happens? You might get fired for reporting them or complaining about them. Oh, but she's got three kids to feed. Then she better get on the ball and do her job if those kids want to eat. I know that's old-fashioned, but some things used to work better years ago than they do now. Okay? So, we live in a country that says, oh, we won't do anything if you do that. We'll take up the slack for you. We will handle this for you. So, what do we have now? What do we have now? We have a whole generation of people. And it started in my generation. And it's gotten worse. We have a whole generation of people who, for one, you can't even talk to them and carry on a normal conversation with them anymore because everything offends them, because they've been taught from the time they were little till now that they should never be offended by anything. Everything should just go perfectly their way. And the other thing that they've been taught is, I don't have to pay for anything that I've done wrong. There are no consequences. Everybody else will take up the slack. Then you come to that person and say, the Bible says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Not me. I've never done anything wrong. Man already thinks that about himself. Okay, the Bible tells us that all the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes, but the Lord weigheth the spirits. Okay? Or the spirit. Don't quote me on that end of that one. I wasn't planning on using that one. but it's in Proverbs, I believe, 16, if you want to look it up. After church, and then we'll talk. Okay, so you come to this person who's been taught there are no consequences. You're not going to have to pay for anything. And they are taught from that high up. Big Bird has told them. Barney's told them. Mr. Rogers has told them. I don't know who's telling them now, but there's still people telling them. You are wonderful. Everything about you is wonderful. There's nothing wrong with you. You're perfect just like you are. Then you come to that person. You see, when we grew up, we weren't being told that so much. Oh, we were a little bit, but we weren't being told that as much as the younger generations are now. And so, and we didn't all make the ball team, did we? And when we got picked on at school, they didn't make state legislation to stop it. Mom and Dad said, you're probably just going to have to toughen up. Oh, but he won't quit. Well, if he pushes you long enough, you might just have to deck him. Nobody even says deck him anymore. When I was in school, deck him. He'll leave you alone. Just deck him. Young people, deck means punch him in the head. Okay? Well, I'm glad Moses and Cole were downstairs because Cole knows it. Cole and Moses be decking each other after. What'd you learn in church? We learned what deck people watch. Okay, look. A lot of us, when we were growing up, what were we taught? That's life. That's how it is. There's bad things in this world. There's sin in this world. Okay, you're going to have to deal with it. You do something wrong, you're going to get in trouble. We grew up in schools where not only could the principal, the teacher of your homeroom take you out in the hall and light you up with that paddle. They didn't have to ask the principal. They didn't have to ask mom or dad. Mom, the principal found out you'd been whacked when you went to the office to get a paddle slip. Your preacher knows about paddle slips. He had to go get a couple of them. We had teachers that still had paddles on the wall, had them on their desk. You did something, they took you in the hall. They gave you however many whacks. You went to the office, all red-faced and bawling, I need a paddle slip. They write, give this to you. You take it home. Mom and Dad found out you'd been paddled when you handed them that slip. Then you got beat again. Like, how many people in here are? Yeah, that's right. But you know who's not shaking their heads? Our younger ones. They didn't grow up in a school where it was like this. And then you had to bring it back. And I told Mom and Dad that I got whacked. Okay? When I worked in the public school, it was a sad day. I already knew that teachers weren't paddling kids anymore. It was only the principal, and they had to get the parents' permission. And the kids that really needed it, their parents never gave permission. And you have 50 witnesses and all this stuff. And I already knew that. But one day I was working in one of the classrooms, and I had to put some stuff up in this closet. And I opened the door, and I looked up. And this was an older teacher. She was getting close to it. She retired while I was still working there. And I looked up on the top shelf and tucked back behind all of her materials and everything. I saw her paddle tucked back there. And I remember when I saw it, I remember thinking, right there lies one of our biggest problems in this school. I remember thinking, well, that's a perfect picture of what the problem is. Because now society is being taught, no. You won't have to suffer. You won't have to pay. You won't have to do it. So then try going to that person and saying, you know what, the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Man already thinks that he hasn't. Now society is telling him that he hasn't. I said all of that to say this. As I said, there was a purpose. It doesn't matter what man thinks. It does not matter how hard society tries to teach man that there are no consequences. God's word says we are all sinners and there are consequences. And it doesn't change. Okay? If every church except Faith Baptist Church stopped preaching against sin, stopped preaching that there are consequences, stopped preaching that saved, born-again believers go to heaven And lost sinners go to hell, a burning lake of fire for eternity. You know why that doesn't shake a lot of people anymore? Because they've never felt any pain. They don't know what pain is. Have you seen a child of today ride a bicycle? Everything is padded. Everything is covered. Everything is their play equipment. Go out here to Deming Park to the play equipment, and you know what's underneath it? Rubber. You know what was underneath ours? Rock. And we played in the woods where you fell out of trees and landed on sticks. And I never had a friend that had a bike helmet or pads. You couldn't play with us if you had that stuff. You know what you did when you wrecked your bike? You learned, don't go that fast down that hill again. That hurts. You learn, don't put the front brake on when you're going downhill, because the front of the bike stops and you go over the front of the bike. You learned, don't stand on one foot on the top of the monkey bars when it's raining. You'll get a face full of gravel. Not anymore. So you tell people, there's a place called hell. And the Bible says that the fire there is not quenched. And if you go there, you'll be in eternal, everlasting torment. It will not end. And you're talking to people who have never suffered pain for anything. Everything has just been so sanitized and padded for them. Okay? But the truth is, there is still a place called hell. And if you are not saved, you will still spend eternity there. And you will be, even though Seventh-day Adventists would tell us that this isn't true, because what they believe is they believe in annihilation. They believe that after you die, then you're burned up. That's not what the Bible teaches. Okay, the Bible teaches that it's eternal torment. I had a guy come into the inn that I was working, and he was a Seventh-day Adventist, and he was doing some kind of conference or something. And he was trying to give me all this nonsense and trying to twist words around, but you know, in the Greek and all this. This Bible says what? Jesus said you go into everlasting torment. It doesn't end. It doesn't stop. It's a lie from the pit of hell when you tell people that hell doesn't exist, and you tell people that they, if they go there, they're just going to be burnt up real quick and it's not going to be eternal. Because this Bible, written by God Almighty, says the fire is not quenched, the worm dieth not, and it's everlasting torment. So what is the gospel? Well, we're all born sinners because Adam sinned and Eve sinned against God. That made all of us, mankind, sinners. Then we're all sinners by practice because we all commit sins. And a pure, holy God who has never sinned and is the author of our salvation, who is perfect and righteous and holy and has nothing to do with sin and will not let sin into His presence. Hence the reason why when His Son died on the cross, He turned His back for a moment and Christ said, my God, why hast Thou forsaken Me? Because as He died for that sin, I know I'm getting ahead of myself, but as He died for that sin on the cross, He had our sin in His body, and the Father cannot communicate with sin, so I fully believe that that is why He said, why hast Thou forsaken Me? Because at that moment when the price was paid, God the Father had to turn His back for just a moment while that sin was in the body of Christ, and the debt was paid, because God cannot have communion with sin. And so Christ knew, though He had never sinned, He knew for that moment what it was like to feel like God had forsaken Him. And let me tell you something. If you've never been born again, if you've never repented of your sin and put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, His death, His burial, and His resurrection from the grave to forgive you of your sin and save your soul, you are in a forsaken state right now. But you are not completely forsaken because you don't have to remain there. You can have your sin forgiven and be born again. and never have to fret about those flames of hell ever again. So we are sinners by birth because the first man and woman disobeyed God, and that passed on to all of mankind. Then we're sinners by choice because the Bible says in Romans, there's none that doeth good. Only God is good, only God is perfect, only God is pure, only God is whole. And if you are anything less than that, pure, perfect, whole, holy, just, you are not getting into heaven. You are spending eternity in hell if you're just 1 ounce less than any of that. Then I am doomed because I can't be that. You're right. You can't be that. You're right. You're doomed. But God commendeth His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So what's my hope, Pastor? I'm doomed. I was born a sinner. I'm a sinner by practice. I know the world tells me that I'm not, but I know the truth in my heart. When I come face to face with God's Word, I have to admit, I have sinned. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Have you ever lied or been dishonest about one single thing in your life? Yeah, but only once. That's all it takes. Right there, you're not perfect enough to get into heaven. I'm doomed, preacher. I am doomed. And for those of you that are saved, oh, my prayer this morning is that you'll remember back when you were doomed. Because this sermon is not just for anyone who is not saved. It is for anyone who is not saved, and for those who are saved, it should be a reminder. It should, hey, I was once there. You know why we need to remember that we were once there? We'll continue to be grateful for where we are now. Lord, don't ever let me forget that I was going to hell. Because then I won't be grateful for what you've done for me. Okay? I'm doomed. God created me. I have disobeyed Him. I haven't kept His word. Even if I've tried, there's so much of it that I can't. Even if I kept all of it except one thing, the Bible tells me that I'm doomed if I just don't keep that one thing. I can't do anything about it. If I live perfectly from here on, I've still got that, all that sin in the past, don't I? Well, don't even worry about that because you can't live perfectly from here on. God needs to see a perfect sacrifice made on our part, and that's what Jesus Christ did. Jesus Christ said, I will willingly obey the Father, and I will go, and I will die for their sin. And I will take their punishment upon myself. And you know why? If I died for you, it wouldn't do any good, because it's one sinner dying for another sinner. If you died for me, it wouldn't do any good. It's one sinner dying for... what? It's, you know, it's like trading one hot dog for another hot dog, trading a burger for another burger. You're not getting anywhere. Okay, but if we could trade up to steak or lobster or something like that, we can't do that. Okay, we can't do that. There are five of you that I didn't have your attention until just now. We can't do that. Ah, but if somebody lived on this earth and perfectly in every single point, first of all, if they weren't born a sinner like I am, born of man, and if they lived perfectly in every single point of the law and never did anything wrong, and then they died for me, said, I'll take your sin and I will die for you, then God could look and say, a perfect person just died and paid for the sin of all of those people, and I am pleased. Then, we can look at this book, or when a friend or a neighbor or a pastor says, let me show you in here where it says you're a sinner. Who are you calling a sinner? You. But it's really not me calling you that, it's God. I'm just telling you what God said. God's calling you a sinner. I'm just telling you what He said. Okay, let me show you in here where it says you're a sinner. And you can't go to heaven, and you're going to spend eternity in hell. What do I do about it? Repentance means I agree with what the Bible says about me. I am lost. I have offended God. I am sorry for that. Repentance is not a flippant thing, okay? We don't go to this extreme where people say, well, were you sorry enough? Did you say you were sorry for every single thing? Good luck remembering every sin you've ever committed. Good luck remembering the last month. But repentance is not also just, yeah, I believe it. Repentance is, God is real. That word is true. What He says about me is true. I am lost. I'm a sinner. I'm on my way to hell. I can't do anything about it. But I believe that God Almighty sent His Son, Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, who died for my sin and rose from the grave, which made Him victorious over my sin. And I am believing in Him. I am trusting in Him. I'm putting all of my faith in Him, not in myself, not in works, not in church attendance, not in any of these things. I am trusting only in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of my sin and the saving of my soul. Then I can be born again. I can be quickened. I can be made alive. Then God the Father is able to look at me and see a perfect, holy person because He's not looking at me. He sees His Son. He sees the blood of His Son. It isn't me. I've just been robed in His righteousness. I've been wrapped up in this coat that made me look like I was clean and pure and whole. The stains have been washed away. The sin has been washed away. And though my flesh isn't pure, my soul is pure. He can now look and see the blood of His Son. And then I can escape hell and spend eternity in heaven. I know we live in a world that says, no. I know, as I said before, that there are people who teach us, well, yeah, hell's real, but you just burn up when you go there, and then it's over. Okay, who would want to escape that? You mean to tell me that I can just live however, do whatever, and then when it's over, I'll just burn up real quick? You can't tell me there aren't people out there that would say, well, yeah, I'll do that. Really? And I know we live in a world where they say, you're good enough just the way you are. Yeah, I might be good enough to live next door to you. I might be good enough to work for you. I might be good enough to bring your mail to you. I ain't good enough to get into heaven. I'm not even close. We might live in a world that says it doesn't matter what you do. You're not going to have to suffer the consequences. Just live it up. You only live once. Life is all about you. Get what you want out of it. Make yourself happy. Well, the Bible still says the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. That's still in here, folks. It's still in here. Let me tell you why we need to be excited that that's still in here. If you're saved, you can look and say, thank you, Jesus. And if you know somebody that's not saved, you can say, thank you, Jesus, that they can be saved too. For the last few minutes, I'd like to preach the sermon that I prepared. No, I'm not kidding. That pastor's back. We have here Jesus talked to this woman of Samaria and pointed out her sin. And she went right back and started telling other people, come down here and see this man. Come down here and see this man. Come down here and see. He told me all that ever I did. All he did was point out to her that her worship was wrong and that she was an adulterer. But that was all it took to reveal to her, he knows everything about me. He only mentioned a couple of things, but he knows everything about me. How could he know those things? Hey, you might be successful. You might go all the way to your grave and hide your sin or certain sins from all the people around you. That's really not that hard to do a lot of times. But you're not hiding it from God. And he's the one you're going to have to deal with. So she goes back into town and she tells him, come see a man. Come see a man that told me all I ever did. Come see a man. Come see a man. You know why she was excited and she wanted them to come and see? She had just realized, here is salvation in this man. You know why when you first got saved you used to go tell people? You just realized, I've been saved and they can be saved too. You know why if you've been saved for a while and you have lost that? If you haven't, that's wonderful. If you have lost it, you know why? I don't know what the reason was in your life. It could be different for everybody. But somewhere along the line, something else arrested your attention. Something else became more important. Something else became more fascinating to you. And there's nothing more fascinating than Jesus Christ. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face. And the things of this earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. You know why? You know when the things of earth start looking good? When you stop looking at Jesus. Because when you're looking at Him, everything else is just disgusting. So I don't know what it was in your life, if that's happened. But it doesn't have to stay that way. In verse 39, and many of the Samaritans of that city believed on Him for the saying of the woman which testified, He told me all that ever I did. I'm going to preach this just a little bit different than how I had planned. I'm going to preach the same facts. I'm just going to go about it a little bit different format here. We're just kind of, we normally read the whole passage and then go back. Let's just take it verse by verse. Okay. Believed on Him for the saying of the woman which testified, He told me all that ever I did. Okay. Does it do any good to tell other people about Jesus Christ? Yes, it does. If you are saved, you have a responsibility to tell unsaved people about salvation, and it works. Now, I want you to notice it says, and many of the Samaritans. It didn't say all. Not everybody you witness to is going to listen and get saved. And really, for the rest of the chapter, we're going to see that principle come up more than once. Not everybody you witness to is going to get saved. You might not witness any of those people getting saved. They might get saved later on and you never see them again till heaven. When we talked about that, I think it was last week. It didn't say all the Samaritans got saved, because not everybody listens, not everybody gets saved. It said many of them. You might not even see many. You might just see a few. You might plant and water seed your whole life and never know if there's any fruit until you get to heaven and say, hey, I witnessed to him. And the guy next to you says, I witnessed to him too. And then this gal down here says, I worked with him, told him about Christ all the time. And you find you're looking at co-laborers you didn't even know you had. Isn't the Bible exciting? Okay? So when the Samaritans were come unto him, they besought him that he would tarry with them, and he abode there 2 days. You know why? Because when people get saved, they have tasted of that living water. They know that it's good, and they want more. They want to get what they can. That's why a lot of times when somebody gets saved, boy, they're getting in, they're digging, and they want to know, and boy, they can't be at church enough. They can't learn enough. They can't grow enough. Okay? That ought last our entire Christian life. When it wanes, it's our fault. I already covered that. They had just been saved by this man. They wanted more of this man. These weren't people who said, okay, now I'm saved, I'm going to heaven, I'm good. Now I can go back to what I was doing. No, these were people that said, stay here. Stay here with us. Tell us more. Teach us. We want to know. Remember when you were like that. I'm talking to those who maybe you've just gotten busy or that's waned. If it hasn't waned, thank the Lord Jesus Christ that it hasn't waned in your life. If it has, let me ask you, do you remember a time? Remember a time when you just couldn't learn enough? You just couldn't tell other people enough? You just couldn't... Okay, don't sit around and mope and, oh, I wish... Just return to your first love. Let's get back there. Because it can be retrieved, okay? But it's not going to be retrieved if we don't get our eyes back on Him. All right? Now, they just stay here. Stay here. We want to know some more. We want to know some more. And He abode there 2 days. Look, and many more believed because of His own word. And said unto the woman, now we believe, not because of thy saying, for we have heard Him ourselves, and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. You know what's happened here? This woman went back to the city, and she said, come see a man. And she told him about Jesus Christ. And what she told them about Jesus Christ was true, and they believed. Then there were others that came and heard Him talk, and then they believed. You know, I am not claiming this morning that this is absolutely perfectly what this verse is saying. Okay? But when I read this, this is how it sounds to me. Okay? You know I'm human. This is how it sounds to me. What I can see in this passage is this. Those people that heard Him, those are the people you give a tract to, you give a New Testament to, you give them a John and Romans. You say, hey, why don't you, you know, read this, read these verses. They go ahead and read it, and they hear out of the Word, oh man, I am lost. I'm going to hell. What am I going to do? Oh, here's what I have to do. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. That's what, okay? Then there are people that, I don't have my Bible, I don't have my tracts. But I know what the Bible says. Realize that in Romans, the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth and believe with thine heart. Okay? I think that when this woman went back, she told them the truth about Jesus Christ. And that's like you and I telling people, here's what the Bible says. And then there are people who, you put it in their hands, they pick one up, they see a track or something, and that, you know what difference you don't find is in their salvation. Whether she told them or Christ told them, they both told them the same thing. And the ones that listened to her and the ones that listened to him got the same gospel and got the same salvation and got the same thing. Whether she told them or Christ told them himself, they got the same message. Lost, need to be saved. And it's the same salvation. I point that out to tell you this. Not everybody gets saved by picking up a Bible and reading it and seeing their need. Some people do. Not everybody gets saved by being given a tract. Some people do. Not everybody gets saved because you went door and witness to them. Some people do. You see, some people might get saved because somebody gave them a Bible and they read it and they saw that they need to be saved. Some people, it might have been a tract. Some people, it might have been you told them what the Bible said. But you don't know. You don't know how people are going to get saved, so we do everything we can. We try to get Bibles in their hands. We try to get tracts in their hands. We try to tell them how to be saved so that they can hear it somehow. But we got to make sure that what they're hearing comes from here. That it's only this. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. That it's only by what is in here. And if they trust, what are they trusting? This. Whether they opened it up and read it, or you opened it up and showed it to them, or you opened it up and read it to them, or you gave it to them written on a tract, or you quoted it to them, if this is what went in their ears, then they got the same salvation the rest of us have. Okay? They got the same salvation that the rest of us have. Some of them listened to her. Some of them heard him. They got the same gospel. But now look, look. How do we know these aren't just people who are just listening? And okay, well, for one, it says they believed. But I want you to look at the very last line of verse 42 and see what they believed. It says, and no, let's back up. For we have heard him ourselves. Hey, listen, listen. You're not going to heaven because daddy's going to heaven. You're not going to heaven because mama's going to heaven. Brother, sister, neighbor. You're not going to heaven because you're going to a church where a lot of the people there are going to heaven. You're not going to heaven because you just believe there's a God. You try to do right. None of those things get you to heaven. What did Jesus tell Nicodemus? Ye must be born again. Why? You're dead. You're dead in sins and trespasses, and you need to be saved. Why are you going to heaven? Because right here, because you yourself, mama and daddy didn't make that decision for you. And there's not a mama or daddy in this building that doesn't wish they could just do that for their children. Oh, if I could just pray, then I wouldn't have. It doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way. What happened here? They said, we heard ourselves. You're the one that's going to have to hear it, believe it, put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And it's not some flippant thing. Yeah, I'll say those words. I'll pray that prayer. I'll do it. Don't even waste your time. Don't even waste your time. If that's your approach, yeah, I'll do that. Yeah, what? Don't even bother. But if God has gripped your heart and has pointed out to you, you are a sinner, you are lost, you are on your way to hell, and there is nothing that you can do about it. And you look at this word and the verses I've quoted to you today and you say, oh, that is true. That is true about me. What am I going to do? What am I going to do? Well, the Bible says the only thing that we can do is repent and believe the gospel. Yeah, that's me, Lord. I need to be saved. Oh, I don't want to go to hell. Oh, Lord, I'm sorry for disobeying you. I'm sorry for living the way that I've lived. Lord, I don't want to do that anymore. I don't want to go to hell. I don't want to disobey you. You created me. You have given me all this. You've just done so much for me, and I'm not even one of yours. I believe that your son died on the cross for my sin and then rose from the grave. I believe that, Lord, and I'm going to trust only what he did to be saved. Okay, look, it says, for we have heard him ourselves. Now look, and know. I can know that I'm saved and going to heaven. Believe this word and you can. Yeah, but my flesh tells me otherwise. Your flesh is rotten. Yeah, but my friends tell me otherwise. Yeah, your friends are rotten. Come on, some of us have rotten friends. I better be careful because about the only friends I have are in this room. You all are rotten sometimes, and I'm rotten sometimes. You know why? Because we still have a flesh. Okay? So when you're down at the Cracker Barrel today and people, oh, I see, did you go to church today? Oh, yes. I just left there. Our pastor told us just how wonderful we were and to just think positive and self-esteem. What'd your pastor tell you? He told us we was rotten. Best thing for you. Best thing for us is to know how little we are and how big he is. We won't get saved without that. Okay? My flesh tells me I'm not saved. My friends put doubts in my mind. The devil puts doubts in my mind. I look back at my past and I'm just not sure. And I went, hey, if you have repented and believed and trusted Jesus Christ, we're not talking about just saying a prayer. We're not talking about just in your mind, yeah, okay. But what What did Philip say to that Ethiopian eunuch? He said, if thou believest in thine heart, if in your heart you say, absolutely, I believe that. Absolutely. I'm not just going along. It's not just in my mind. Absolutely, I believe that. Then yes, you can know. And when your flesh says, nah, you're probably not. Or your friends say, nah, you're probably not. Or your past says, nah, you're probably not. And the devil says, nah, you're probably not. You can say, Jesus Christ said I am. Jesus Christ said that I was. Jesus Christ said that if I will believe what He said and trust Him, that I can be, and I did that, I am. And those voices get loud, don't they? But look, they said, and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. Is all the world going to be saved? No, because not everybody puts their faith in Jesus Christ. Could all the world have been saved? Absolutely. Because everybody is able to make that decision. This morning, if you are saved, if you have trusted in Jesus Christ, and let me say this, if you have to ask yourself for 1 minute, am I? I think I am. More than likely you're not. I think I am. If you can sit here this morning and say, I know that my sins are forgiven and I'm on my way to heaven, I am saved because I have repented of my sin, I've agreed with this book, I put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ, I have believed from my heart, not just with my mind, I am trusting His death, burial, and resurrection. He went to the cross, He died for my sin, He rose from the grave, He's in heaven making intercession, and I've trusted Him only. I believe this and I'm trusting Him. Okay, if you can say that, then you can say, yeah, I know I'm saved. I can tell you why I'm saved. If your answer is, I think so. Back when I was, I think I was 11, Bible school. Yeah, I kind of think they told us to say, ask Jesus into our heart. And that, I think. You better put the brakes on. You better put the brakes on. Okay? The devil comes in, especially if you've had a lot of false doctrine, the devil can come in and he can put a lot of stuff in your head and make and try to make you doubt and all that. But, listen, I grew up full of doubts because of terrible doctrine that I was raised under. I grew up full of doubts. But you know what could not be erased? If that house was still standing, I could take you to the living room and to the couch and say, right there is where I was sitting when I prayed and told God I was a sinner and I was sorry and asked Him to forgive me. That's never gone away. I know that. Okay? Or maybe this morning it's, nope. I know without a doubt I am not saved. I have never trusted Jesus Christ. Oh, I believe there's a God. I was trying to do good. I went to church, I did all this thing, but I know that I have never done what you just said I needed to do. I have never done what that Bible says. I have never repented and put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Okay, let me say something real quick that maybe is not mentioned in very many churches this morning, but it's going to get mentioned here. If you sit here this morning and say, I know that I have never done that. I have never repented. I have never put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ. You are going to hell. Oh, you can't tell people they're going to hell. My Savior did. And the book that He wrote told me to tell people who were going to warn them that they're going. Oh, that's so blunt. That's so, it has to be or we won't listen. This book says, that's where you're going. And you will not be annihilated in a few seconds and then it all be over. You will suffer the torment for eternity. That fire will never be quenched. That's your state. That's your standing before God, is that you're lost. Okay? If you are saved this morning, then I pray that this was just such a, just, what'd we sing in Sunday school? Well, you all sang it. I was up here talking to Denny. I love to tell the story. If you're saved this morning, then probably what took place this morning was, well, just reminded of what God did for me. If you're not so sure, then you came face to face with the fact that you're not so sure. And if you're sure that you're not saved, you heard the gospel and the proof this morning. So what are you going to do about it? And if you're sitting there this morning, you're saying, boy, I don't know. You better get a hold of me before you leave this room, or get a hold of one of these saints that you know is saved. Or if you don't know them, you just go up and ask them, are you saved? Because I've got some questions. You better get a hold of me and say, Pastor, I got some questions about this. I'm just not sure. I've got some doubt. Or if you're sitting here this morning and say, hey, there's no doubt in my mind. I know I'm lost. You can walk out that door. God will not stop you. You can walk out that door and put it off for another day and then just hope you get another day. Because every day there are accidents, there are shootings, there are diseases you didn't even know were working in your body right now that just take you. And there might not be another day. So if you know this morning, then just thank God that we've been reminded what He's done for us. If you're not sure, get sure. And if you know for a fact, no, I'm not saved, I know it, what are you going to do about it? It's your choice. God's not going to force you. But let me tell you this, you will not be able to stand before God one day and say, I didn't know. Because you've just had that excuse removed, ripped out from under you this morning. Because this is the only time ever heard it, God could look at you on that day and say, March 11th, 2018, that Sunday morning, Pastor Grant Utley told you. So don't tell me. I'm not saying that's what God's going to say to us, but in essence, He could, couldn't He? You know. What are you going to do with it? Don't put it off. Don't put it off. The only thing that matters is where you spend eternity. That's it. Doesn't matter what other people think. Doesn't matter. It's the only thing that matters. Where am I going to spend eternity? This life's going to end. All this stuff's going to stop. And one day my soul is going to live on somewhere, heaven or hell. That's all that matters. And you could know that and get that taken care of before you leave here today. And Christians, those of you who are saved, I hope that this fourth chapter of John is teaching us how to witness more properly. And not only teaching us how to witness more properly, but showing us the urgency and the importance of it and stirring our hearts to get out and tell more people. I believe there was something for everybody in the preaching this morning. But I will say this. If there was just one person here who's not saved, I know this is going to sound mean. If there was one person here who is not saved and needed to hear how to be saved, it really doesn't matter if the rest of us learned anything or not, does it? But I think God worked probably on all of us. But our first prayer is that if anybody's lost, that He worked on that person. I'm going to pray. And then we're going to have a song of dismissal. And I'm going to tell you this. Though we do not normally have, you know, what you call an altar call, and there are reasons why. Well, I don't know what the reasons were before I came here. I just know what my reasons are. That doesn't mean that you can't, during the invitation, boy, if God's working on you and you just can't sit, that doesn't mean you can't get up right then and come down here and I'll talk to you, Brother Denny, talk to you, Brother Dwayne, all, you know, or one of the ladies or somebody. There's no reason. You don't have to wait, okay? I know we don't have what a lot of churches call a traditional altar call. And really the main reason that we do that is because we want God to work on your heart in the time frame that God wants to work on your heart. We don't want people doing something because they feel, oh, the song's almost over, I got to get down there and pray. We want to let God take care of that. But that doesn't mean that you cannot respond, okay? That doesn't mean that you can't respond. And if God's working on you in some other area, then forget about singing the song with us. Bow your head and pray. I do it. You've seen me do it. You've seen others do it. Forget about the song. If God's dealing with your heart, forget about the song. We'll sing that. Don't worry about it. You just pray. Where you're at, down here, it doesn't matter. But don't put off if God's dealing with you, okay? Don't think that we're so, you know, I don't care about time. I didn't even want to change the clocks. Neither did Angie. Okay? Listen, don't worry about that. Because every one of us is going to take a last breath and step into eternity someday. And I don't want any of us to look back and say, boy, I wish we'd have just waited a few more minutes before we ended that service. Okay? Don't worry about it. Dear Heavenly Father, this morning, God, so grateful are we for your word. Lord, we're so thankful that even though after you created us, we fell, we sinned, that you loved us enough to make provision, and that you sent your Son to be a propitiation, as your word says, a substitute, a payment. He that did no sin died on the cross for my sin, paid that payment, paid that debt, and if I just trust him, I'm saved. Lord, those of us here that are saved, we're so thankful of that, and don't ever stop reminding us, Lord. Keep us humble. Lord, my prayer this morning is that if there's anybody who questions and they're not really sure and they can't remember a time and they're just, that they would get that taken care of this morning. And if there's anybody who knows, I am not saved, I need to be saved, I don't want to go to hell, I want to be saved, Lord, I pray that would be taken care of this morning. And they wouldn't leave here wondering, but they would know what they need to do. And I pray, Lord, that you would just work on our hearts the way that you know all of us need it, and the way that you see fit. Do the work that needs to be done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.